We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Thanks so much for being part of it. You know, thinking about going to Delaware for our next guest, thanks to everyone that came out to the Brooklawn Diner yesterday. It was a great day. Remember, our diner month is at the Brooklawn Diner all the month of March, so we have three more Thursdays there. I do hope you'll pop by. I love the food. We were certainly distracted by all the food there, and great people came by. So it's right there on Route 130 South in Brooklawn, New Jersey. All right. So I'm watching Tucker Carlson the other night, and our guest, was there where Tucker erupted and said, well, let me provide the outrage. We played that for you yesterday. And I'm glad to have him. I believe he's an attorney in Delaware and a member of Delaware Equality, seemingly one of the driving or guiding forces of this regulation that is making quite a bit of news. As I understand it, it may let students choose their race, gender, without parental consent at a very young age. There's a lot more to it. So Mark Popora is the person from Delaware Equality joining us on the Spring Dance Hot Tub Hotline on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that was... Wanna, go ahead. Yes.
Can I just clarify the name of the organization that I represent is Equality Delaware.
Equality Delaware. Okay. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Equality Delaware. So, Mark, it seemed to be the takeaway I got, the short form of it, but you can fill in the blanks with Tucker, is that your argument is that some parents will react badly to choices kids make vis-a-vis, if you call it a choice or whatever, when it comes to them that they may be transgendered. I don't know about the racial part. And as a result, the school needs to protect kids. Was that your side of the argument?
Yes. So it's, you know, gender identity is not a choice. I mean, that is a fundamental concept that if you can't grasp it, you can't sort of move beyond.
Well, can I ask you, though, we see people, though, is it not correct who do, if not make a choice, they say at one point in their life they're this, and they go back to saying they're something else. That happens, right?
No.
It doesn't?
No, it really... That's not really what we're talking about here. Under Delaware law, when you talk about a gender identity and expression of a gender identity, it's required to be consistent and uniform. And so we're not talking about switching back and forth, Dom. We're talking about a consistent and uniform assertion of that gender identity.
All right. So a kid asserts this at the age of 5 or 6, right? Shouldn't the parent be involved in it?
Yes, absolutely. The parent should be involved in it. We're not arguing that the parent shouldn't be involved in it, but the simple fact is that there are some parents who are going to not be accepting of that child and actually to the point of endangering the welfare of that child. And those are the situations that the language in the regulation is meant to provide guidance for. In the vast majority of cases, and we completely and wholeheartedly agree that it is an integral part of the process that parents be involved in the child.
Okay, but let me take you to where the conflict is. So the parent doesn't agree. Well, I would assert that's the parent's right, and they have control over this.
It's not just that the parent doesn't agree. It's that the parent. It's that the evaluation is that it is a danger to the health, safety, or welfare of that child.
And who makes that evaluation?
Well, the school administrators, with the the help of school counselors who are trained in counseling and dealing with these types of situations.
Okay, now Mark, I hate to keep interrupting, but I want to be on point. So I reject that as Tucker Carlson did, and it's outrageous to me too, even as a former teacher and everything else. If it's that severe, or it's a sense that the parent is out of line with what the counselors and others say, don't you have to go to court to get a judge to certify that? That's what should be done, not the school being the arbiter.
No, I think one thing that people sort of don't understand is this is already happening in schools across the country, and including in Delaware. I mean, in Delaware, you can if you're a student, you can go to the administration and say, this is my preferred name. And it could be a nickname, like your name could be John, you mm-hmm. want to call it Jack, or it could be a name that reflects your gender identity. And there's no requirement right now that schools go and call the parents. That would be essentially outing the child's gender identity. And that's a decision that the child should make in terms of when to tell their parents or when.
Wait a minute. I differ with you on that when we're dealing with gender identity with a 6 or 7 year old. I am the one in loco parentis. I'm the one for this child's health and welfare. And I see a lot of evidence of how dangerous this could be. Why wouldn't I be the arbiter of this? Shouldn't I be told by the school, Mark?
So in the vast majority of circumstances, you would be. But let's go through a scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, that a child comes, and you know, you're not talking about younger kids, you know, going to school administrators. Younger kids are, you know, are much more likely to actually exhibit symptoms of gender dysphoria with their parents, and so it, you know, the whole issue is resolved even before they get into the school. But let's say a child, middle school or high school, you know, approaches the administrator and says, you know, I want to, my preferred name is Sam, and you know, and their legal name is Sally, and so it's evident that there's, you know, there's a gender identity identification going on here. So the school administrators should absolutely sit down, you know, with the school counselor, with the student, and sort of understand what the student is going through. And in the vast majority of cases, and they should encourage the student to discuss that with their parents. But let's say, for example, that you have a situation where a parent has made statements at home indicating that, you know, that they're going to murder any person that goes into the restroom who's transgender with their daughter. And in fact, that's one of the cases that we had in one of the public comments on this regulation. There was actually a parent who wrote in to the Department of Education and said that they would murder any transgender mm-hmm. student that went into the bathroom. So do we call that parent and tell them that their student is transgender? We just call the parent and out the student to that parent.
Well, wait a minute. That is the most extreme case, but still.
I don't think you are, Mark.
I think you guys are using that case to bypass the parents, and you don't want to go through the legal system. Why?
No. It's not about going through the legal system. It's about respecting the safety of that child. That's what the decision is. And no child should be put in the situation of choosing between their basic dignity at school and their safety at home. And that is the balance that we have to draw here.
Well, but you're frankly the sole arbiter, not the court.
No, it's not a court issue. We're not changing any sort of legal designation here. We're talking about how they're referred to at school.
You are usurping the rights of the parents behind their back when you do that.
No, it's not. First of all, this doesn't preclude any sort of conversations between the parent and the child, which should be happening in the ordinary course. If the child is afraid to have these conversations with the parent, then the parent really needs to look at that relationship with the child and why that trust between the parent and the child has eroded.
Mark, I got to say, with all due respect, that's pretty arrogant. Now, in the case of the person who threatened murder and all, that's one thing. But what you just said, let's piece that out there. Maybe the parents are opposed to this. Maybe these parents are opposed to this for some religious/moral reason, and the kid's afraid because they know that. That's normal. That has to be dealt with.
Exactly. I mean, that's a different situation. Look, even some parents who aren't maybe accepting of it are still going to love their child and support their child, even if they don't understand it, even if they don't agree with it. We're talking about situations where it's clear that the health, safety, and well-being of the child is going to be endangered. And you can't put that child in that position.
All right, and I'm saying you're not the arbiter of that. You have to go through the legal system.
I'm not saying that I'm the arbiter of it, but it's happening right now. And so there has to be some way to deal with it. We have to think of a way to deal with it. And this was the way that the task force that was appointed mm-hmm. to address this regulation concluded was the best way to do it.
All right. Now, where does that stand right now? So it was proposed in November, right?
Yes, it was proposed in November. The public comment period expired in December, and the task force met to discuss the public comments on it. And right now it's not clear how the Department of Education is going to move forward on it. I sincerely hope that they move ahead and adopt the regulation. But one thing that was clear, and this has been clear all along in the task force that helped draft the regulation, it's necessary to not issue this regulation in a vacuum. There has to be implementation guidance to the schools on how to implement this regulation, including the parental notification piece of it, to make it clear that in most cases, or in almost all cases, that you should be discussing this with the parents.
Okay. All right.
And there are other portions of the regulation, Dom, that actually anticipate that you're going to have conversations with the parents. For example, you know, the restroom access provision. If you look at that provision, it actually requires working with the family of the student to determine what restroom access is appropriate. And so it anticipates that you're going to have these conversations with the parents.
All righty. Mark, where do people find Equality Delaware? Where do they go?
We're an all-volunteer organization. So we have a website. We have a Facebook page. And we are working throughout the state.
All righty. Well, Mark, to be continued, we'll see how this plays out. But thank you. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.